Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
You can stick it to the man and big tech. Join our FTL social mastodon at social.freetalklive.com.
Let's talk about what's going on in Kansas right now and show you how civil asset forfeiture is supposedly being questioned in Kansas, but not really. Kansas police seize property without criminal charges, but lawmakers want more safeguards. Oh, I see. So you just want to make sure that not everything is taken on a whim by the government when they claim that you've engaged in the selling of drugs, again, which is not a violent act. Over the past 4 years, Kansas law enforcement seized, get this, $23.1 million in cash and property. That's in 4 years, allegedly linked to criminal activity. Most of the time, owners never tried to get it back. Why? Because they didn't have the money to try to get it back. Kansas lawmakers, uneasy with the lack of challenges and other aspects of the seizure process, will attempt to overhaul the state's civil asset forfeiture laws in 2024. Really? Well, it takes a while. You got to scroll down a lot in this article, of course. But here it is, a little bit more. The controversial but widespread practice allows police to take property they believe is connected to a crime. They charge the property. Of course, the property was all involved with it. Before anyone is charged or convicted, they can seize it. Just put a hold on it. You know, kind of like what they do to those evil Russian oligarchs. There's no declaration of war. Going to take their yachts. Going to take their bank accounts. Going to take their money from Turkish banks because they were dealing with Russian market forces. Just offering things for sale. Or trades, or investments. Can't have that. No. More than 70% of the 1,888 seizure incidents between July 2019 and November 2023 resulted in uncontested or default forfeitures of property, according to the official Kansas data. Half the seizures were valued under $3,116. Of course, because the people who don't have a lot of money don't have a lot of money to provide for their own defense. Yep. At that amount, hiring an attorney to fight a forfeiture likely costs more than the value of seized assets. Yeah, so what are they going to do? Well, they talk for many paragraphs about how law enforcement officials are saying that this is very important and so on and so forth. And it's not until you get almost all the way down to the end of it where they actually tell you this. Owens, one of the people involved, who chaired a special legislative council that studied civil asset forfeiture this year, will introduce a bill to implement recommendations by the committee. Among other ideas, the committee endorsed exempting some crimes from forfeiture to avoid targeting drug users and requiring the return of property if legal timelines aren't met. How about you don't take stuff without a trial? Because it's contrary to the Bill of Rights. You're seizing property and they have not been found guilty. You're punishing people. That's contrary to the Eighth Amendment. You're not giving people due process, for goodness sake. You see, this is the problem. Oh, we have a problem with this. Really? So you're going to turn to the Constitution and actually abide by it? Nah. Theodoric of York. Broomhilda, fetch more leeches. Yeah, it's insane. The recommendations also include requiring a judge to review seizures early in the forfeiture process. Maybe the judge might actually pay it. Nah, I forgot. Broomhilda! And in some instances, mandate law enforcement agencies pay the attorney's fee of property owners if courts order the return of most or all of their property. Well, since the government has unlimited access to tax funds, that's not going to do a heck of a lot. Hey, people who can continue to draw and borrow, You just cough up more money. It's sort of like the Biden administration handing more weapons to Israel, saying, now remember, we've got rules. Wow. Oh, man. Okay. So now let's talk about another taking. This is a breaking story today, everybody. It is a big, big story. Got no music for this one. I want to roll right into this. Thomas Massie, he's the one who really gave me the heads up on this. And let me go to it right here for you. State in Pennsylvania, state agriculture employees conducting were at this breaking moment 2 hours ago, now 3 hours ago, conducting a search warrant at Amos Miller Farm. He's an Amish farmer who had clients who had agreed to get products from him, and the state officials didn't like it. So here it is. It's a place called Upper Leacock Township. There's all those tax-funded wonderful vehicles. Here's more. I'll give you a little bit from the Twitter feed with the video. Two state police vehicles and vehicles belonging to the Pennsylvania Department of Agriculture. Oh, of course. Were seen at the Upper Leacock Township property owned by an Amish farmer who has been involved in years-long litigation with the federal government over food and meat inspection and health safety guidelines. Meanwhile, what are they doing to the guys in J6, giving them absolute swill? What did they mandate for soldiers? mRNA jabs. This guy has voluntary clients. Those other people were not even allowed informed consent, and we all were forced to pay for it. The incident was first publicized by the editor of the Lancaster Patriot. Oh, the farmer, Amos Miller, declined to speak with a reporter who visited the property. The reporter was asked to leave. The incident, in the passive voice, the incident was first publicized by the editor of the Lancaster Patriot, a website offering a mix of local news and Christian so-called nationalist commentary. Okay, yeah, you know those Christian nationalists, those Amish people who just want to be left alone. Yeah, well, anyway, I'm not saying that that's the source, that they're tied to Amish people in any way whatsoever, but how about just, it doesn't matter the source. How about just what the government is doing? How about that? You don't have to try to taint it in some way and paint it in some way. Now we have to check on that other group. How about just the information? A Pennsylvania State Police spokesperson, are you sure it was a person? Why don't they identify as a cow? A Pennsylvania State Police spokesperson said, the Pennsylvania Department of Agriculture is conducting a search warrant on this property. Troopers from PSP Lancaster, they must be first responders, are just assisting with scene security. Yeah, you got to be very careful, those Amish people, who will have to reach out to the DOA for information on their investigation. Oh, okay. Well, let's go back to my Twitter feed and give you some of this information. I think you might find this worthwhile. And again, they can, if they wanted to, they could start to portray those evil Amish people as religious fundamentalists, radically dangerous, and so on. Of course, maybe if they just portrayed themselves as statist and they wanted a state somewhere, then Western powers could just, give them a place someplace, anywhere in the world, and then they could feed them weapons on our dime. And, that religious group, even though they're actually not religious, they would have to become secular and just support the state. They could then claim that they were religious, even though they had lost their religion or never got it in the first place. Here it is. This is from the Lancaster Patriot itself, so I want to give this to you right here.
Miller's organic farm operation here in Birmingham, Pennsylvania. There are currently two marked state trooper vehicles here, three other official use vehicles. I attempted to enter the building inside. A state trooper turned me away and said that they are executing a search warrant on Amos Miller's operations here. I've not been able to make contact with Amos Miller yet, but once again, Amos Miller's property here in Birmingham, Pennsylvania, Lancaster County, Pennsylvania, law enforcement is once again harassing Amos Miller for serving his neighbors. And here we have a search warrant being executed, not allowing media to enter the building. Stay tuned, for this is a developing story. We will have updates as we have a search warrant being executed on Amos Miller's property right now as I speak.
Again, all we have to do is ask, who has been harmed? Has anyone been harmed? Have they brought a tortious claim against Amos Miller? Right? That's all we need to ask. And what actually, what agency is bringing the harm? The state, which is predicated by seizing people's cash. That comes from the Lancaster Patriot, of course, which was depicted by those people at this Lancaster Online as being this white supremacist publication, the Christian nationalist, the Lancaster Patriot. Well, I don't know. I don't know anything about the Lancaster Patriot. I didn't have the opportunity to look up the information about them. But I wonder if perhaps you are wondering the same thing, if perhaps those people are being depicted as radical. I don't know. Just the term patriot, is that somehow the Christian nationalist trigger word? I don't know. But the information and the actions are very clear. And it actually goes back to a number of years ago. And so I dug up this information for you. This coming from the Western Journal. And, of course, they were depicted as evil by the Obama administration. Got to go after them with the IRS under Lois Lerner. Armed feds pay a visit. Amish farmer faces hundreds of thousands in fines. Yeah, you think this was, oh no, this was from 2022, from May. Amos Miller, an Amish farmer who runs a holistically managed small farm in Bird in Hand, Pennsylvania, grows and prepares food in tune with nature. Oh, you evil Western Journal people. How can you dare say that? They're not in tune with the nature of the state. They got to get aboard here. The way that he believes God intended. This seems like a sound idea to the approximately 4,000 customers who purchase Miller's meat, eggs, and dairy products from his private members-only food club. The federal government, however, appears to disagree. A federal judge recently ordered Miller to cease and desist all meat sales. Our Organic Wellness reported this. U.S. Marshals were deployed to search Miller's property. Well, U.S. Marshals, I thought you were supposed to be the good guys. Maybe you ought to look at your constitution again. They inventoried his stock to assure he doesn't sell or slaughter more animals. In other words, the feds shut Amos Miller down. And, of course, Thomas Massey is trying to get passed an act that would allow for private sellers not to have to ship their cattle to giant conglomerate slaughterhouses. Check out and see what happens in the Senate on that side. I wonder where Mitch McConnell will stand if he's, yeah, I know, you know where I'm going with that one. Miller claims he is being persecuted by the federal government for practicing his religious freedom to grow and prepare food according to his religious beliefs. Can you believe it comes down to this? You shouldn't have to even defend it with your religious beliefs. You should just say, I'm an individual, you're just a group of people, and you're trying to threaten us. That's all. Which reminds me, let's go back to some of the things that we posted just recently in the setup for the show and add one of those things. You know, we mentioned as we went into the video, liberty and tax, the Orwellian liberty and tax, right? The two contradictory beliefs simultaneously, new think, right? Without any sort of cognitive dissonance in any way whatsoever, you can hold those things together. Well, Lewis Carroll actually talked about that in Alice Through the Looking Glass and Alice in Wonderland. A lot of these things were spoofs of the Parliament and the royalty at the time. The Humpty Dumpty representing the government, the royal, falling down, not making any sense. And, of course, he had the Red Queen, who didn't make any sense either, and all her guards. And I think it's worthwhile reading Lewis Carroll later outside of high school. You get a better appreciation of Lewis Carroll. But the movies aren't really worth anything in my eyes. It's the writing. And you can only take little bits and pieces of Lewis Carroll because it's so absurd and strange that you just have to read certain sections that might have some meaning. For example, this section. This is a section where Alice asks Humpty Dumpty how he can make words mean so many things. What sort of magic power does he have to be able to describe all these things, to be able to define these things in different ways? And Humpty's answer was, the question is, who is the master? That is all. That is, of course, the question. So, let's go back to a couple of the stories and talk about the descriptions of things. Here is a graphic that I took a screen cap of this and want to show you this on the immigration front. Tie that in. Because, of course, they called them illegal immigrants, and as I pointed out, that's contrary to federal statute, which, of course, is contrary to the U.S. Constitution. So whose wording is right? Mine's right. It's contrary to the U.S. Constitution. Therefore, the laws, the statutes, are illegal. They are also immoral because they're statutes. They're not natural law. But just looking at this, we can also see an internal difference in terminology. As we look at these graphic lines, the term encounters, expulsions, apprehensions. So if you see this, the bottom line, the green line, is apprehensions. And we can see the trends as well and the start dates for some of these things. You can see under Trump, the encounters started to peak in January of 2019 when he entered office, and then they started to drop precipitously just because of the rhetoric, not because of his actions. He didn't really do anything. He built a, you know, few hundred yards or quarter mile of a wall that was easily scaled. And of course, everybody who knows anything about human behavior knows, again, you're just creating a black market. It's going to entice people to find ways to get out there and get into the United States, especially if you have a welfare state and people think that they can get free room and board, free food, free legal, free anything. And politicians are incentivized to bring them in because the Democrats think that that will engender more people to support them politically. That's been the game for them. As you know, I think you all know that stuff. I know that, right? Okay. Well, this rhetoric about encounters, this is the big deal where we get to Mayorkas. And this is where he's had his big conflict with Jim Jordan. And they will not cough up the information from the Border Patrol under Mayorkas' lead, so-called, and the Department of Homeland Security. They won't cough up the actual numbers of people who have been prosecuted or expelled and returned. And you can see the expulsion is light blue. So if you're just listening, pardon me for this, but the expulsion line starts in January of 2020 for Trump. They have no statistics prior to that. It doesn't mean it wasn't happening. They just don't have the statistics here. Okay. This is, this is January 2020 for Trump. You can see a sharp rise. It continues to rise until Biden is about March of 2021. Then it starts to go down. Goes up a little bit more for expulsions and continues to seesaw a little bit, but the general trend, if you were to mark all the troughs, is down. It's always down. Even if you mark the high points, it's down. So the problem is, of course, that Mayorkas, when he goes public and is asked, how many people have you returned? Or when Jim Jordan asks him, he uses the rhetorical legerdemain of, well, we've encountered a stunning new rise, which is, of course, they want more money. And as they get more money, what do they do with that money? They use the money to do things like, as I said, what they're ready to do, which is to literally go into Mexico and act as tour guides to start getting them set up to actually going into the United States. When they get more money, they allow for 200,000 migrants to get paid tickets to fly anywhere they want inside the United States using an app that the government put out there. When they get this money, they hand out block grants and chunks of money to people who still will not get away from their rhetoric about so-called asylum cities, right? These zones like Massachusetts, Boston, New York City, even as the mayors of these places claim they've got to take emergency actions, the only reason they're doing that is they know it can be skirted. They know that their emergency stuff isn't going to stop anything. Like Eric Adams stopping the buses. Yeah, we're going to investigate the buses. That's clearly unconstitutional. It's contrary to the 4th, 5th, 6th, and 8th Amendments, right? But in addition to that, now, as we saw, just in the time between the time that I wrote the piece for MRCTV on Sunday and today, we've already seen the pattern of behavior changing. As I said, they're just switching buses in New Jersey. That's all they're doing. They're bringing the migrants up from Texas. They're dropping them off. And Eric Adams is all upset. But it's a big acting job. It's a big display to do what? To try to get more money, which is exactly what Maura Healey did right off the bat. She immediately asked Mayorkas for more money. So the encounters thing is used as a way to sound the alarm to get more money when they actually don't do anything. That is a big deal. Let's continue looking at rhetoric again real quick. Let's look at this one. This is from Aaron Levy. He says, this chart should make you go insane. This is the number of high-skilled workers that want to work here. And this is a lesson for people, just to go with a quick story. On immigration policy, again, it's rent-seeking. I had a friend who was a high-skilled laborer, high-skilled worker. He worked in computer technology. And he would repeatedly agree with me with my libertarian stuff. He was very, very pro-liberty, up to a point. He said, oh, yeah, it's ridiculous that they don't allow more folks in to work because labor competition drives down one of the key factors of cost for production, that being labor. Just like you don't want to have to spend extra money to get your resources to build the houses or the metal to build whatever you're trying to build, like washing machines or whatever. So the government shouldn't impose high tariffs on cheaper foreign stuff. That allows you to sell your stuff for less and consumers can get it for less, save money, and then invest in a new business that might be starting up. Again, what is seen and what is not seen, the opportunity costs that are lost, that are incurred by government deciding for people, no, you're going to have to pay more because we want to protect this Maytag dishwasher corporation from Ohio, rather than allowing you to put it into a new business that could start up in your area or someplace else, rather than you starting your own business or going on a vacation with your family. No, you've got to subsidize Maytag, even though they're not as efficient as some other people might be somewhere else, right? Now, people can go into the nuances of, well, what if it comes from slave labor and stuff like that and so on and so forth? How about this? How about I not charge my neighbor to pay for a tariff regime based on what I think is proper for them to buy? How about I let them decide what is proper or moral? How about that? That's fine enough because I am acting in an immoral way to engage the state to create that paradigm. It's pretty simple. Again, it's the anarchist, no ruler. I'm not going to presuppose and act as a ruler over my neighbor's decisions. We'll be back with more Liberty Conspiracy on Free Talk Live. Remember, Liberty Conspiracy can be found every Monday through Friday starting at 6 Eastern Time in the evening.
Most folks don't realize this fact. Our country is only 4 missed meals away from chaos, and those meals can vanish fast. In a national emergency, fragile supply chains break down and will wipe grocery store shelves clean in a matter of hours. Before this happens, there's something you should do today. That's stock up on emergency food storage. My Patriot Supply is the company millions of American families trust for their emergency supplies. You should, too. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and secure their best-selling 3-month emergency food kits. Each kit contains delicious breakfasts, lunches, and dinners, averaging over 2,000 calories per day. My Patriot Supply also sells large solar generators, gravity-powered water filtration systems, off-grid room heaters for when the power goes out, heirloom seeds, and other survival necessities. Order by 3 p.m. and your items ship the same day, fast. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com right now. Those who know what's coming, prepare before the chaos starts. MyPatriotSupply.com.
USA News Update. North Korea helping supply the Russians with ballistic missiles as that country ramps up its war against Ukraine. National Security Council spokesman John Kirby told reporters that
Russia launched multiple North Korean ballistic missiles into Ukraine, including as part of its overnight aerial attack.
In response, the U.S. is rolling out additional sanctions against entities facilitating the arms transfers. Kirby also called on Congress to provide funding to Ukraine. An American and his two daughters among those dead in a plane crash that happened in the Caribbean this week. According to investigators in St. Vincent and the Grenadines, a single-engine plane left around noon Thursday on a flight to St. Lucia and quickly began experiencing difficulties. It was only moments after takeoff before the plane was careening into the ocean. The Americans have been identified as 51-year-old Christian Klepser and his two daughters, ages 10 and 12. I'm Ryan Daniels, USA News.
Have you ever watched a video on the internet and found yourself waiting for the skip the ad button? The reason this takes a few seconds is because the video delivery companies get to collect impression commission, and the viewer never sees the advertisement. The company still pays full price to run the ad. Does this sound like a scam to you? Is there any wonder why internet ads are so ineffective? For over 100 years, radio has been a proven source for companies' messages. Radio listeners are engaged and want to support the companies that sponsor the shows they're so passionate about. Simple companies like window treatments, security, pillow companies, and more have been able to break away from the big box stores, building multi-million-dollar businesses. Find out what radio can do for your business. Call 877-996-4327 or advertise at gcnlive.com. That's advertise at gcnlive.com.
Tejibo Tea Club's original Pure Pau D'Arco Super Tea helps build red corpuscles in the blood, which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer dies in oxygen. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit shopsupertea.com. The first word is shop, spelled S-H-O-P, then the word super, and then the word tea. The complete website is shopsupertea.com or call us at 818-984-6100 Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-984-6100. Shopsupertea.com.
Appreciate what we do? Help us advertise, market, and promote for just $5 a month at amp.freetalklive.com.
We return with Liberty Conspiracy on Free Talk Live.
Wait a minute. I know you guys. You're from the News Flash.
Oh, baby, what's on tap for tonight? One and all in our News Flash. We get to begin, everyone, with a little something, as I mentioned, blow up. From human sexual response. Oh, it's so hard to keep track. It's such a confusing state we're in. Boy, girl, girl, boy. Yeah. All right, everybody. You know that that signals that we're going to get weird and strange because it's the 21st century. And, of course, it continues on after postmodernism brought us all the weirdness and strangeness. But it's always had, the world's always had its share of weird and strange, right? Well, let's turn to one of the, you might say, icebreakers in the world of weird and strange, up in that Arctic world where nothing can grow. Here it is. Dylan Mulvaney has a new passport, prompting celebrations from LGBTQ plus stars. Yes, Dylan Mulvaney now has a passport that says female on it. Seriously. Dylan Mulvaney has a passport that says female, but Dylan Mulvaney is, of course, a male. Prominent transgender activist. Oh, will that get me shut off some platform? Not Rumble and not Rockfin. And now not X. Prominent transgender activist and social media influencer Dylan Mulvaney shared a significant personal milestone with his followers. This originally comes from The Advocate, so they said her followers on Tuesday, because of course they're highly confused there. For his followers on Tuesday, the change of his passport's gender marker to F for foolish. I'm sorry. Female. The momentous, monstrous. Oh, I'm sorry. They also don't say monstrous there. The momentous update, indicative of his journey, they say her, and advocacy for transgender rights, has garnered widespread support for celebrities and the LGBTQ plus community. Oh, that's awesome, isn't it? That's great. Okay, and that means what? That means that everybody's very excited to know that there's going to be more confusion for all of the transgender people out there. Because, of course, you've got to follow the F for female. Mulvaney, known for her influential Days of Girlhood TikTok series, announced the passport change on social media. Boy, I got to tell you, talk about confusion. How in the world can anybody even write a sentence nowadays if you don't know whether you're going to have a him or a her, right? Even the police in California now are going to use the preferred pronouns of suspects after they've been arraigned. So what if they escape? How are you going to say who you're looking for? We can't say. Sorry, you're on your own, folks, which you always have been on your own, of course. Now, got another little item for you that you might find even bigger than that goofy Mulvaney story. This one out of Australia. Australian law forbids prayers revealing the religious freedom threat of bans on conversion therapy. Yeah. So you can't pray, and this is from the Daily Signal, you can't even talk to someone to say, you know, maybe you don't want to mutilate your body. Maybe your parents talking to you as a teenager and bringing you to that doctor who's going to start cutting things off of you and give you some sort of chemicals that will permanently change you. Maybe that wouldn't be a good idea. For some reason, I know, I'm not an Australian, but for some reason in Australia and in certain states like DeWine's Ohio, where he vetoed their protection of kids whose parents might want to mutilate them and give them chemicals that will forever change their bodies. And yet he does believe that there should be laws protecting kids from parents who are aggressive and abuse them. So I don't know where you find that standard. Again, I'm an anarchist, so how people deal with the workings of the state with all the different opinions that have to be flooded into that and then stirred around and you come up with one answer to serve to everybody, I don't know. But, you know, he at least says there's got to be a standard regarding parental so-called rights versus the children not being abused. But in that case, he's decided it's okay to abuse the kids. I think it's perfect to think that that is abuse. And I think that it's strange that people can engage in contracting with doctors, and doctors can engage in getting paid to mutilate people. But at the same time, we find that it's illegal to speak about not doing it. The conversion therapy is illegal. The free speech is illegal. It's just talking. How can speech be somehow an aggressive act? It's just sound through the air. It's not as if, you know, the United States government is using some highly technical thing to somehow melt your eardrums, you know, sort of like the subsonic stuff you get from wind farms that are promoted by the government through your tax money and screw up the ability of whales to echolocate. Here's the story from the Daily Signal. This is a commentary piece, actually, by Tyler O'Neill. He says, imagine if the government told you what you can and cannot pray for inside your own head. David Knight brought up that woman who was praying outside of the abortion clinic who got busted twice. She just got busted again for silently praying, just standing there. And when the cops ask her, are you praying? She honestly answers. But, of course, she's imposing herself on a public sidewalk where, of course, because it's a public sidewalk, everybody assumes everybody's got a right for free speech, although in England they haven't necessarily codified it the same way as they have in the United States. But they do have the Magna Carta, which is so sort of sentimentally supposed to support freedom of speech and freedom of association and protest and that sort of thing, you know, rights like habeas corpus, that sort of thing. That sort of thing is not supported by police when they find you on the street. And for some reason, even though you paid taxes to the running of that sidewalk in England, you're out of luck because you're silently standing there praying and you honestly answer them. So who's the aggressive one? The person who's standing there or the cops who come up and then kidnap the woman? I think I can figure that one out. Well, writes Tyler O'Neill, he says, imagine the government told you what you can and cannot pray for inside your own head. Such an idea seems better suited to thought crime dystopias such as George Orwell's 1984 or Aldous Huxley's Brave New World, where the government attempts to control your every thought rather than to the modern free English speaking world. Well, I think a long time ago we sort of lost that one there, Tyler. Yet a government in Australia, in the state of Victoria, and Harps, I know you're probably snoozing right now. If you watch this after the fact, I salute you, and thank you again for that awesome gift. He says, the government of Victoria has trodden on the secret space of one's own inner prayers, all in the name of protecting people who identify as LGBTQ. The Change or Suppression Conversion Practices Prohibition Act of 2021, which went into effect, I know you're going to want to get a tattoo of that because it's so catchy, which went into effect in August 2022, forbids certain practices aimed at changing or suppressing an individual's gender identity or sexual orientation. The law also bans carrying out a religious practice, including but not limited to a prayer-based practice, a deliverance practice, or an exorcism if it has a bearing on LGBTQ stuff. The Victorian Equal Opportunity and Human Rights Commission lays out prayer practices that fall under the ban with or without an LGBTQ person. So it's more than that. Oh, man. According to the commission, prayers that are directed at a person to change or suppress their sexual orientation or gender identity cause harm and are prohibited. Forbidden prayers include petitions to God that ask for healing, ask for a person to change, ask for a person not to act on their attractions. So that would also include anyone who's praying to avoid sin, for heterosexuals as well. That's the point. It's the act of sin or the thinking about engaging in the act that is sinful. Talk about a person's brokenness or need to repent or ask for long-term celibacy. So I guess you can't become a priest. Just amazing, amazing stuff in Australia. It's, wow, holy guacamole, everybody. That is some nasty stuff. Absolutely incredible. Also, really quickly, I want to mention this one. which is in the United States, Don Jeffries posted this, and his comment is definitely worth it. More politicization of the so-called justice system. Certain people are now being awarded huge funds for being offended over the beliefs of others who have no similar right to be offended. That's right. So who's engaging in the aggression? Anyone who says, well, that particular word now is on my list of offenses, so I'm going to get the state in its normative sense to go after you and threaten you. You can pick anything. If you hold offense because you're the victim now, you can pick anything that offends you. You become a victim, and therefore the state must go after somebody. So you can engage in aggression. This has always been the Marxist attempt to gaslight people. You can engage in aggression by calling a simple, peaceful action anything you want it to be, anything that you pick that is a peaceful word or activity, even somebody just trying to operate their private property or on their own land. And we'll talk about zoning coming up. Even all those things, we can see that the people who want to portray themselves as victims engage in gaslighting and then act as the aggressors, while all the while hiding as the victims. You're the victim. So this comes out of Kentucky. Ex-Kentucky official, you probably remember this, Kim Davis, she denied same-sex marriage licenses. She now owes, I think it's hundreds of thousands of dollars, $360,000 in damages after a new ruling. Yeah. Kim Davis, she was the ex-clerk of Rowan County in northeastern Kentucky. She became a national figure in 2015 when she defied the U.S. Supreme Court ruling that legalized same-sex marriage. Davis refused to sign marriage licenses to same-sex couples, citing her religious beliefs. At the time, U.S. District Judge David Bunning found her in contempt of court and ordered her into jail, and she spent 5 days behind bars. David Ermold and David Moore sued Davis after being denied marriage licenses multiple times by her in her office. In 2022, Bunning ruled Davis violated their constitutional rights. And, of course, again, I'll just show you this on the screen. That was based on the misreading of the 14th Amendment. The 14th Amendment shows you just how far many Americans have traveled in the concept, even the Lockean ruse of government is established to protect people against aggression and threats by people outside of their other people against their private property and persons. Supposedly, its government is there to protect people from other people. But it is now seen as not equal protection in the 14th Amendment, which is the Equal Protection Clause. If states have statutes, they must apply those statutes equally in their protection. They must protect people equally under the law, right? But now so many people look at proferred benefits from the state, like licensing, marriage licensing, which is a benefit that excludes competition for the people who are going to be performing the marriages. You have to get permission from the state to perform a marriage that is recognized by the state. It also, as I mentioned in my piece for Mises years ago, don't allow government to define marriage or the optimal child-rearing environment. And you can look that up at the Mises Institute. It also grants marriage licensing. Grants, and for a long time it granted only heterosexual couples. When it first started, it only granted same color white couples, and that's one of the reasons why many people got involved with getting the state involved with licensing. Prior to the close of the Civil War, marriage was not something that saw licensing. George and Martha Washington didn't have to get a license. They didn't have to go to the state in order to get an officially recognized license. They just went to their church, they got married amongst their friends and before God. But now people started in the late 1800s in order to stop blacks and whites from getting married. They said, let's get the state involved. So they would only allow legally recognized marriages for certain select people. That's a benefit. That's a license. It's not protection. And what ends up happening is it adds special benefits that are offered to people for visitation rights in hospitals, for inheritance rights in case something hasn't been quite worked out, that sort of thing, so things won't go into limbo. Homosexual couples were very upset about that, and so they would sue. and eventually they would start to see changes within their legislatures. The 14th Amendment does not provide equal treatment, and people misread it. But I think it is illustrative, or perhaps it's indicative, of just how far people have come in their view of what the government is there to do. Even the baseline Lockean concept of the government is there only to protect you from aggression by others, even though the government engages in aggression in order to so-called protect you, as you know, that's what I argue. But that's the baseline. And that's supposedly protection. And that is what is actually in the 14th Amendment, but everybody misreads it. So homosexual couples would misread it as equal treatment under the law, and therefore you see this result, which is exactly what the court at that time in late 2015, 2016 ruled, and the U.S. District Judge David Bunning found her in contempt and ordered her to jail. He said that Bunning ruled Davis violated, in 2022, Bunning ruled Davis violated that the constitutional rights of the plaintiffs. Well, Bunning's ruling was a misreading of the 14th Amendment, because they don't have a right to the preferred benefit of getting a marriage license. However, we will say this. If they had gotten married in another state that already recognized marriage licenses for homosexual couples, and then they went into Kentucky and they said, you must recognize our marriage license, well then, and we're going to talk about this a little bit more with a New Hampshire story coming up in the flash. I'm moving it up into the flash, actually. Then the state would be obligated under the contract clause, the full faith and credit clause of the U.S. Constitution. They would have to recognize any legal document from one state with the full faith and credit of it being a legal document in another state. That's why driver's licenses that are offered in one state are supposed to be usable in another state. That's why gun licenses, although you shouldn't have to get a gun license, you shouldn't have to get a driver's license either, but explicitly in the Second Amendment, it's very clear that you're not supposed to have to get a license to carry a firearm. But even on that level, they don't allow for reciprocity of gun licenses, because then that would reduce everything to the lowest common denominator and just open up all the states to any state that offered, say, for example, gun licenses to anybody, concealed carry licenses to anybody, constitutional carry. That would reduce all the very restrictive states to have to recognize all those licenses from other states. So likewise, if these two people, David Ermold and David Moore, were to have gotten a marriage license from another state, then there actually would have been a constitutional argument to go up against what happened to Kim Davis, to go up against what Kim Davis did. They would actually have an argument, but they don't have a 14th Amendment argument. And that judge in the district court, the federal district court, David Bunning, ruled in complete contradistinction to the actual wording of the 14th Amendment. And I think it's typical today, and it's a big lesson. It's something that I think can stand the test of time to recognize just how much people think the state should be involved in giving people things, and how they get upset if the state doesn't give me the equal amount for this or that that they're giving to other people. Well, then that's a breach of the 14th Amendment. No, it's not. Now, I do have to mention one thing. Those people who think that the police function is a natural function, that the state should definitely engage in that, that actually also is the offering of a benefit that you are supposed to get yourself. You have no right to force somebody else to pay for your protection. That's ridiculous. And even on the practical grounds, where does that end? Right? Everybody has different opinions about what their protection might entail, what degree of police protection, how many guns they might need from those police pointing outwards to protect them, what sort of wall they might want, right? As I mentioned, you can't tell when the government puts a wall up whether anybody actually wanted that. Everybody has different opinions. And so even the offering of police protection is actually the offering of a service. And that is not something you have a right to draw from your neighbor's pocket to get. So there's a very weird convolution of ethics, even when we look at the very idea that the state should provide you with protection. Because you don't have a right if you go over to your neighbor to say, hey, give me money, I want to get a guard, right? which is essentially what you do when you vote for police protection through the state. It doesn't make it any more ethical, right? And in fact, after I mentioned the border wall, let's talk about the border wall, all right? Yeah, let's get into this one, everybody. Let's discuss border walls, and let's go with, oh, you know it. You know what I'm talking about. Oh, yeah. Oh, I love the play Wall of Voodoo in the Flash, as you know. It's a lot of fun. And this song just I loved it. Great video. Wall of Voodoo, check them out. First album, terrific. I hear the talking of the DJ. Can't understand what does he say? I'm on a Mexican radio. I'm on a Mexican radio. All right. So, I mentioned a New Hampshire story. So, let me give you that one first, I think. It doesn't necessarily represent a wall, but it perfectly, I know, I work very hard for you. It perfectly weaves into the last story that we discussed, or the last couple stories that we discussed when we talk about reciprocity of licenses. The last story we discussed, when we talk about reciprocity of recognition of licenses, and when we discuss driver's licenses. Here's the story from Boston.com. There are a couple things that New Hampshire did. I'm going to give you the bad one first, okay? Now, what's interesting is a lot of conservatives applauded this one. And again, if they call themselves constitutionalists, they should think again, please. New Hampshire bill targets undocumented immigrants driving with legal Massachusetts licenses. Sorry, but if that's challenged in the court, you will lose. It's very simple. Full faith and credit clause. It's right there. Read it. As much as you might not like the fact that Massachusetts might give undocumented visitors, migrants, illegal immigrants, driver's licenses, if they're doing so and they are legal documents, you're going to have to recognize them. We've got to fly. Thanks to you for listening to Liberty Conspiracy on Free Talk Live. Find Liberty Conspiracy every Monday through Friday, starting at 6 p.m. Eastern Time on Rumble and Rockman and my Twitter feed at Guard Goldsmith.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
Wellness and self-care doesn't have to be complicated. So keep it simple and take good care of yourself with Sunny Bay heating pads. Our heating pads soothe pains in the neck, back, and shoulders while relaxing muscles and increasing blood circulation. Sunny Bay heating pads have always been made in the USA and hand-filled to perfection with the highest quality materials. Sunny Bay heating pads are the perfect wellness gift for loved ones or yourself. See all of our high-quality products at sunny-bay.com, including heated body pads, neck pillows, heated neck and body wraps, and our stress-reducing lavender line. They're all affordable, durable, and in stock now and ready for immediate shipping direct from sunny-bay.com. Read our trusted, authentic, and real reviews at sunny-bay.com, or just search for Sunny Bay Heating Pad. to your good health and wellness from Sunny Bay.